Kane is in the building.
Weather's getting nicer, basketball season's heating up, baseball's around the corner. You know what that means. It's time to win some cash. OP Sportsbook launches in late spring and will provide a fully encrypted and anonymous betting platform where users will bet with stable cryptocurrency. This means that they can place bets with crypto without having to worry about the volatility of crypto. Powered by the Solana blockchain and Web3 technology, opsportsbook.com represents the future of sports betting. 3Pete is proud to partner with them, and always remember to bet responsibly. That's opsportsbook.com.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the 3Pete podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. This is our 22nd episode of the fifth season, so we're continuing to put these out. And if you're picking up from last episode, welcome back. I'm your host this week, Alex Castle, and as always, I have the pleasure of being joined by
Josh Fromowitz
and Steven Benazzo.
And of course, sitting at the fourth chair, like Stevie said last episode, needs no introduction, is Mr. Hummel himself. TJ, how are we doing today?
Oh, it was a dreary day, but, you know, popping on with the boys, back on the podcast, makes the day 10 times better.
Absolutely, and you're repping those dancing bears, those wonderful dancing bears. So I love it. It's going to put out a good vibe for this episode. And we got a lot of great content today. It's going to be a hoops heavy show. We're going to talk the draft. We're going to talk some trade rumors. Speaking of which, prior to this episode, pretty big trade happened. We're going to dive into those details a little bit later in the show. It was an exchange with the Pistons and the Trailblazers. The Pistons received a number 36 pick for this year's draft and a 2025 first rounder. And the Blazers got a 46 pick for this year's draft and Jeremy Grant. So a lot to analyze with that trade. We'll get into it later. But right now we got to talk the draft. And this year's draft, there is a lot of talent, a lot of question marks. You know, some of these teams are really relying on these picks. Some of these players, I don't even know if they need to, if they really fit where they're being ranked. And that's what we're going to dive into now. So, Stevie, help me out here, okay? Chet Holmgren, he is ranked. A lot of drafts I've seen put him at number one going to the Magic. But maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm missing something. But I don't see this kid as a number one pick. He's got the skill and the talent, but when you look at centers in today's league, it's not just about the skill. You got to be a body out there. And this kid really reminds me of Porzingis in the way of just a really, you know, lengthy, tall kid who doesn't have much of a body and is going to get bullied around. So what's the real appeal with the Magic taking him at one?
To be honest, I don't know if there's any more appeal as much as there was coming into the draft. I think recently now it's more Jabari Smith. And I think that's because Holmgren has not released a lot of his physical records to certain teams. And one of those teams could very easily be the Magic, which I wouldn't see. I don't see why not, because they're the number one team. You want to go number one. But maybe he doesn't want to play in Orlando. And it's funny because I was just talking to my brother about this, and it seems like the players really have more control than teams do. You know, like really one of these kids can come out and say, like, really, I don't want to, like, almost pull an Eli Manning. You know, like, I really don't want to play there, and then they won't. So, but really to go to your question, I think Holmgren, it's just a matter of, he's got the talent, he's got the height and the length, but does he have the strength? I mean, Listen, if he has to cover DeAndre Ayton in the paint, is he going to be able to? I mean, DeAndre Ayton is huge. He's ripped. Chet Holmgren is like the size of a toothpick, just a bunch of them stacked up.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe he is 7 foot, 7'1", and 190 pounds.
Yeah. What does that say? I mean, you know, it's very, really skinny. And then how strong is he even? So it's just a matter of, you know, yes, we know he can play basketball. He's a very good player. But is he going to be able to handle the NBA in terms of, like, physicality? And, you know, especially if this was in the 90s, forget about it. No. If he had to go against guys like Karl Malone and Hakeem Olajuwon. Now where it's a little more, you know, even big men are shooting and not too much in the paint. Even then, still, you got to think about it. And then the fact that why – so I think – I'm assuming he's got to send his physical records to the Magic because they're the number one team. But he has known that he has not released those records to all teams. Now, who those teams are, we don't know. I'm sure it'll come out after the draft. So – I don't know if that's a way of him dictating where he wants to go or if he's just nervous that some teams might look at it and he might fall more. And I think, to be honest, it's got to be that. Like, is he too skinny? Is he too much, you know, is he too lanky? I mean, listen, KD's lanky, but he's not that lanky. If you compare KD to Chet Holmgren, KD's going to probably look like LeBron to, you know, someone else. Like, there's a big deal. Like, Chet Holmgren's really, really, really skinny and lanky. So, I don't know. But I know that he's definitely falling off. I mean, he was, like, the hyped-up number one overall pick for how long now? And now he's falling to number two, number three, possibly, or even more. And then a guy like Jabari Smith, Paolo, they're starting to one or two. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see where if Chet – and listen, the Magic can very easily go with Chet number one tomorrow. But they got a guy like Wendell Carter. They still have him at center. So did they like him enough at center? Or do they want Chet to be their future guy? And then they also drafted Franz Wagner last year, who's a big man who you can always slide to that center position if you really want to. I don't think so, but he's got the size too. I think he's more of the four. But it's interesting. And I think this is why it's going to be very interesting, the draft tomorrow. Because like I said, a guy like Chet, who everyone thought would be easily the number one lock, the number one pick, is not anymore. And so then what happens from here? So there's a lot of determination that goes into it, determining what teams, which way teams want to go. And listen, Chet can very easily turn into something great, or he can struggle adapting to the NBA. Because he's not going to go against kids anymore. He's going to go against some grown men who have played in this league for a while, who actually have good size to them and have the experience and, you know, can really reveal Holmgren's weaknesses and his flaws and, you know, ultimately his strength. So that's my little piece on it.
No, that I'm glad you harped on that a lot, because watching, you know, film of him and watching in March, him in March Madness, I just didn't really buy into the hype too much. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I look at him and I see the appeal of when the Knicks drafted Porzingis in some ways. And I don't think that the Magic, him and the Magic, I just don't know. I mean, with how he's being projected to go number one, it's likely, but I don't know. I don't think he's deserving of it. But the other name that you threw around that I wanted to talk about is Jabari Smith. Another huge talent. Couple of mock drafts I've seen have him going number one, but they're, you know, some people are skeptical because, you know, his shot is not all there. And some people feel that, you know, in terms of production and, you know, what he brought to the court, he didn't really move the needle too much, but I think over time, he is someone that can develop into being a great player. So I ask you, Josh, do you think the Magic should take a chance on Smith at number one, work with him to develop, and eventually have him mold with the few young pieces that they have now? Or do you see them kind of just, you know, taking the easy route and taking Holmgren at one?
Well, I wouldn't say taking Chet Holmgren at one is the easy route, because I think he has the most to develop, because, yeah, he's got the raw talent. Defensively, he's probably the best of the three prospects, but I also think he has the most question marks. How is he going to be able to handle guarding, like Stevie said, a DeAndre Ayton, or better yet, a Joel Embiid, because that's the Eastern Conference? How is he going to be able to guard Giannis? That's the Eastern Conference. Like, all these bigs, besides Jokic, are in the Eastern Conference. So how is he going to be able to match up against those? Vucevic is a shooter from the corner or the perimeter. Will he be able to guard a guy on the perimeter? Or will he be able to handle Joel Embiid in the paint? Like, I think he has the most question marks. Jabari Smith, I'd say, is probably the sure thing as a number one. Or Paolo Banchero. He has the perfect build for an NBA-ready guy. He's 6'10", he's 250, he's a true power forward. He could shoot, he could defend, he could rebound, he could also ball handle. His body is like is like Julius Randle, but he has his own question marks. We talked about it in the beginning of this season, where in his season, his conditioning was horrible. He was cramping in the beginning of the second half, and he couldn't really play much. Jabari Smith, I think, is the best pick for number one because he's the best shooter of them all. He was a 40% shooter from three, 45% shooter from the field, 80% from the field goal. His defense is just not as good as the others. So obviously, like always, you have your pros and your cons, and you want to try to figure out which one outweighs the others. And if I'm going based on that, then Jabari Smith would be my pick at number one because his pros outweigh the other cons.
Hey, listen, I can't argue with that. And I think if you're a team like the Magic, you need to try to start getting these guys who it's going to be a little less work and a little more kind of flow with everything.
But there is another thing that I don't know how much they'll take into consideration, but I'm sure they're throwing this idea out there with Chet Holmgren. There's already a chemistry because he was high school teammates with Jalen Suggs and they were 2-time state champs. So at least that is something that maybe is leaning towards, you know what, we might want to take him because of the previous history. They were really good teammates together. That's when Chet Holmgren emerged to being the top prospect. Jalen Suggs also. Both of them went to Gonzaga a year apart. So there was definitely history between those two. Those two are really good friends. So that might be a very tempting move for them. But like I said, he has the most question marks. So do they want it, like Castle, you said, the easy route, even though it's not really the easy route? You could label it as the easy route. Or do they want to go with, you know what, I think while we have more work to do with Jabari Smith or Paolo Banchero, I think long-term those two are the safer picks because we're going to get the constant production and not worry about our center costing us games.
And I just want to say something, Castle, before you go. And promise, I completely forgot about Jalen Suggs, so that could – you know, I didn't really put the two and two together, so that could happen. But the way I've labeled the three top players in the draft, Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, and Jabari Smith, is Paolo is the most ready. You know, he like pretty much he'll come in and probably do the best right away. I think Jabari has the most potential. You know, I kind of view him as, listen, I'm not going to say he's going to be this guy or as good as this guy, but he kind of reminds me of a KD, Kevin Durant. I mean, KD is like almost 7 feet tall. you know, 6'10", 6'11". Like, everyone thinks he's, like, taller than 7 feet. Jabari Smith's, like, 6'10", 6'11". Jabari Smith shot 42% from three. KD is a very excellent three-point shooter. You know, and then Jabari Smith also, he plays great defense. And he played in the SEC, so it's not like you could say, ah, well, that's not a, you know, competitive. I mean, the SEC is a very good conference. So, and then Chet, I think Chet has the most question marks. You know, I think Chet can either be really, really good or he can kind of be a bust. I don't think there's any in between. So if you're the Magic picking number one, you kind of have to decide, like, well, do we want the most ready player? Do we want someone who offers a lot of potential? Or do we want someone that, you know, it's going to take a little time, and if it works out right, it could really be a home run. And then if not, we could have just taken a really huge loss, or a big, you know, bust at number one. So that's why it's tough. And ultimately, I really think they'll take Jabari. I think Chet to Oklahoma City makes the most sense. I think Paolo to Houston would be so good. Him with Jalen Green on the Rockets, I think that'd really be the best options. And then, you know, I think Jabari number one, you pair him with Franz Wagner together, and then Jalen Suggs. I mean, now you're really forming something.
Cole Anthony.
So I think that's the best bet. But again, really, it's what these teams, I don't know what they're looking for. You could say, well, they don't really need this position, but really in the NBA, you see teams like the Kings all those years, they took Halliburton. You know, they took Fox, and then they took Halliburton, and then they took Davion Mitchell. Not obviously years consecutively, but like, there he had all these nasty point guards, and yet they're still taking all these guards. So really the NBA is not like the NFL or NHL where, maybe not NHL, but like the NFL where, like, if you already drafted position in past years or target, like, you're not really using your top pick on it. The NBA is slightly different. It's tough to tell, but that's how I classify those top three prospects. And then everyone else is kind of, you know, you can really go into it, but those are the top three. Those are the guys I would imagine go top three. I don't know the exact order, but that's how I would rank them and classify them. And I said, ultimately my prediction is Jabari Smith goes number one.
I think it's very fair to say that those three are in the mix of the top three picks. And, you know, it's funny. When you look at a team, it doesn't matter what conference they are. A lot of the times, if they're in a position where they're not making the playoffs, they're in some sort of drought, you would think, okay, let's go for the guy who's going to be benefiting us the most. However, when you look at the East right now, and how competitive it is. Are the Magic really, and this is kind of an open question to whoever, do you guys really think the Magic are in a rush right now to get someone that's going to be the star right away? Or do they take someone that they can work and develop with, and then maybe in a couple of years, when this pick is developed, they're finally in a better spot to immerse more in the Eastern Conference? So anyone can go at this one. I'm just curious to see, like, what you guys think about the Magic picking when it comes to what the landscape of the Eastern Conference is like right now.
I mean, it's not unrealistic to say that they're that far away, because they have talent and they're going to add in the number one pick. So whoever that might be, they're going to be added to a team where they're going to have Cole Anthony. They're going to have Franz Wagner. You have a lot of cap space, so they could still make a move in free agency and add some more talent. So it's not out of the question that they're going to be, that they're like years and years away. This year might be, I don't know what to expect from them, probably towards the bottom half of the East, but I'd say they're closer in being a contending team again than they are that as being a team that's going to repeat of having the first overall pick.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that's fair. Stevie, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, I'll go in. So, like Franz was saying, you know, I could see them being good relatively soon because they've had a lot of lottery picks in the past. The thing is, if you're drafting, you know, anywhere from like, say, 5 to 10, or especially in the NBA, like those guys you can use, say, more to develop more over the years. Like they can take a little more time because they're not that top pick. But in the NBA draft, usually the top three picks, like those guys, you kind of want them to be ready now and really to start showing like that they can contribute, like a Jalen Green like last year, or Cade Cunningham, or like John Morant. You know, obviously you want them to keep improving each year, but you don't want a guy that like really starts off and not playing too much or has a really small role. And then like, you kind of want a guy who, you know, say if they average 13, 14, 15 points per game, you know, and then next year almost 20 and then 25. And then from there, now you're starting to like, more like a LaMelo where he averaged like 17. Then now he's at this year averaging 19. So like, with the, especially the number one overall pick, I think you need more of a guy that's like ready now. And he doesn't have to be like a superstar right off the bat. Like he, you know, he doesn't have to be like getting MVP votes, but he, you know, he kind of needs to look like he belongs in this league. So that's why I don't know if they can, with this number one overall pick, they can afford to have someone like, you know, needing a few years. Because that's where I think a guy like Jalen Suggs, where you draft him like fourth or fifth or whatever, you know, if you give him another year or so to develop, or like Cole Anthony, now he really started coming into his own after a year or two, or the same thing with Wendell Carter. So like, that's like, those guys are fine like that. But when you're the number one overall pick, you need them to be able to really kind of contribute right away, like NBA speaking, you know, because NFL, okay, like the Trayvon Walker, he's a God, I can't even say the word. You know, he can take some time to develop, but the NBA and NFL are completely different leagues, and the drafts, you know, it's like usually the number one overall pick in the NBA, like they're going to be like right away, you know, like starting, you know, and having a big role. So again, they don't have to be like LeBron James, but they also can't be, you know, I'm trying to think of a guy, you know, I can't really think of anyone right now, but they need to be more ready than not.
Yeah, no, I agree. And especially, you know, kind of just backtracking to the overall point, especially when you are in the Eastern Conference, such a competitive conference, more now than in recent years, and you're at the bottom of the food chain trying to make your way to the top, I agree. When you're picking number one, it needs to be a guy that you know is going to be one of the five starting on a night-to-night basis. So it's going to be very interesting to see what direction the Magic go in. You know, as we've discussed so far, it could be one of three options. So whoever they get, I'm sure will, you know, in the end, work out for them one way or another. And they'll be hooping with Mickey Mouse. So it's a 2-for-1 special. So we've covered the first three picks. So now it's pick number 4, and the Kings are up. Now, the Kings have, you know, like you said, Stevie, they've been an interesting team with drafting. They've been drafting a lot of guards over the recent years. They've made some moves. They have Sabonis now. So pick number 4 comes to them. What's your feeling of the direction do they go in? Do they get Ivy? Do they get another solid guard to pair with Fox? Do they fill another void? What are you feeling with that number 4 pick?
I really don't know what they should do. There's been talks about them trading the pick with the Knicks, for example. The Knicks.
Yes, that's what they need to do.
I mean, that's probably the best option for them because they need a lot.
Well, not even. But, I don't even think. Sorry to cut you off.
No, like, you're good.
Not even that they need a. If you look at it, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is an all-star point guard. You got Sabonis, who's an all-star big man.
But he's Harrison not. But he's not a good defender.
So then you got Rashawn Holmes, who's a great defender, and you got Harrison Barnes, who's a solid forward. So like, they don't need a young rookie that high. Like, they can afford to get more capital or get more assets to then either, you know, trade for in the future for another solid, or to get another veteran player right now. So I think they should trade, in my opinion.
I think that's what they're going to end up doing, is trading, but it may not be a sure thing that it's the Knicks, because there are a lot of other teams. The Hawks, I think, have been linked to that as well. Seems like the Hawks are linked to everyone. Portland just made a trade, so either the Pistons might look to move up. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if, let's say, they pick. It really doesn't seem like they're super high on Jaden Ivey. Keegan Murray really stands out, because that, let's say, they trade Harrison Barnes, because he's got a really bad contract. Keegan Murray, I think, is going to be the best player out of this draft class. Yeah, I said it, Stevie. He's got the perfect size, a perfect build to be a really talented 3 or 4 in this league. Excellent shooter, excellent defender. He's what teams drool about. And if it weren't for the top 3 bigs, he would be number 1 in this draft class.
I mean, listen, I think he's going to be a really good player. Don't get me wrong. I don't see him being the best overall pick in this draft. I don't, but I can see him, you know, making a bunch of all-star appearances and like becoming a star in this league. I just, like I said, I think there's other guys that are going to be have a more prolific career, if you would want to put it that way. But the Kings, if they take Ivy at 4, they are stupid. And they are just like wasting away. Like, listen, he's a hell of a player. Wherever he goes, he's going to be a star, in my opinion. But he just does not make sense on that team. Like, it doesn't. And then it's like, what are you doing? And the Kings would be the type of team to do that. So if they actually want to be smart and try to go like actually see improvements and stuff like that, don't take Ivy. Trade out of that spot. You don't need the 4th overall pick. They really don't. They can afford to trade back, get veteran players, get more draft assets to then, like I was saying, to use to trade for, you know, more veteran guys, or use in the future to then try to move up to get like a top draft pick or whatever. But they'd be stupid to stay pat at 4 and pick Jaden Ivey. I think really what they should do is either trade with the Knicks for 4, and then either you get 11, or say if the Knicks try to get closer to the 4th overall pick. So say if the Knicks trade to pick number 7, and then from there you trade the Knicks and you get pick 7. So then you got it. You could still take a guy like Keegan Murray, because I don't see Keegan Murray falling out of the top 10. So you could do something like that. But I really, if they stay at 4 and pick Ivy, like, I won't even care, because I'm not a Kings fan, but it would just, like, for their own sake, it'd be just pointless.
So then you're the Knicks. What are you offering the Kings right now? Because
so
I would, they, say, they, I would, I would, I would say the Kings have all the leverage here.
No,
I think so. What have they done? They've taken guards in the past, and they could really, and they could say, you know what? We want him to play alongside De'Aaron Fox. They moved Haliburton. They have Davion Mitchell, who could come off the bench, but I think that they hold all the cards here.
I that's where I disagree, because I think, I'm not going to say the Knicks hold power, but I'm saying, first of all, Jaden Ivey, and kind of like I was saying earlier, especially in the NBA, like, where the players kind of control their destiny. I'm not saying for every team, but like, Jaden Ivey has pretty much made it clear to reporters and teams that like, he doesn't want to go to Sacramento. And really, Sacramento, for being the 4th spot, and really this is realistically the spot Jaden Ivey will go, pick number 4, regardless of the team. They have not really communicated or like gone to like, Kings have not really attended any of his workouts, or he has not worked out for them privately. And which is kind of crazy to think that like, he's projected to go number 4 and they're at the number 4th spot. Cause they kind of know that he doesn't want to be there. And they just now, they had Tyrese Haliburton, who was an all-star or soon to be all-star point guard. And then they traded him away. He drafted Davion Mitchell last year in the first round guard. You already extended De'Aaron Fox, you know, and he's your star point guard. So, like, why would they need to now take another guard? So then, again, it keeps moving. So that's why I'm saying they shouldn't. So I don't think they hold the power. Yes, they had that pick, so I guess you can kind of say that's why they hold the power. But really, so if you're the Knicks, you offer them, if you say if you don't make any other trades, if you're pick number 11, so you give them number 11. Try to give them Julius, unless if they really don't want him, but give them Julius. Offer them Cam. You know, maybe a guy like Alec Burks, they want him, or a Quentin Grimes. You know, if they really want another guard, but he's not more like a point guard, he's more a shooting guard. So I don't know, something like that. And then future picks, like you can give them like a Dallas pick, or my brother was telling me more of their picks that they have. So you just offer them more picks, and then really that should do it. I mean, if you're the Kings, it's not like, you know, it's a lottery. They got lucky that they got the number 4 overall pick. They could easily fell. They could have gone a higher one, I think. But like, you know, especially the lottery, especially if you move up and you get a good pick, like kind of falls around your lap. You know, you can go from any sort of range. It's not like the NFL or some of these other leagues where you get that pick just by the record. No, it's through the lottery system. So sometimes these teams benefit when really they should have the number 8 pick, but then they fall. That was like the Bulls a couple years ago. They jumped all the way to the 4 when they probably should have had like the 7th or 8th, you know, and then the Kings, I think they jumped. I think they got lucky, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't really think they hold too much power, to be honest. Again, they still hold power because it's their pick, but not as much as you would think.
When was the last time the Knicks were talked about so highly with the guard who really wanted to end up with the Knicks and didn't? Do you know who I'm referring to?
Kyrie Irving or no?
No, Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Oh.
When the Timberwolves took 2 guards over him, that was stupid. So he should have been a Timberwolf. But the Knicks were at all of his pro days, all of his stuff. He was linked to being drafted to the Knicks and was taken by Golden State, which really shocked a lot of people. And look at his career now. I'm not saying that's going to be Jaden Ivey if he goes to the Kings. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's not a sure thing that the Knicks hold all the cards here, because the Kings, yes, they like taking their guards, but it's not like they're super deep. Yes, they have De'Aaron Fox, and yes, they have Davion Mitchell, but Jaden Ivey is so explosive off the ball that he could be a shooting guard. Davion Mitchell looks like he's a backup point guard right now. He really doesn't look like he's the franchise cornerstone piece that they drafted last year. He needs to develop still. So if that, let's say they want Jaden Ivey, it makes sense still. The Knicks, I think, would need to offer a lot more than what you just said. I think they need to offer quickly and Grimes, the 11th pick, and a future first, just to impress the Kings, because a team like the Hawks, a team like the Blazers, a team like the Pistons, any of those teams could also make trades. So just saying, like, you know what, you want Randall and Burks is not going to cut it. And like, and future picks, yes. But I'm just saying. That's what
I think
I'm saying.
They have to include a young guy. You know, I think, because to be honest, the Kings might be like, keep Randall away from us. We don't want anything to do with Randall. I mean, Castle, you're the Knicks.
They have Sabonis. They're not going to want Randall too.
What do you think the Knicks would have to offer, or what would you want the Knicks to offer for the number 1? I mean, do you want the number 4 pick or no? Do you want Jaden Ivey?
So let me first start off by saying, Stevie, I have to respectfully disagree with you. I think the Kings really do hold a lot of power here. The Knicks have just been on such a bad trip
cursed by James Dolan. That's the best way of saying it.
Curse, whatever you want to say. And if I'm the Kings and I look at the Knicks, I sit on a throne laughing while they try to scramble for trades. Now, do I want Ivy? Yes. Ivy was probably one of my favorite players in college this season. Loved watching him play for Purdue. And I think he would be great to have on the Knicks. I think, you know, unlike the Kings, we've struggled to draft good guards. So, and get guards in free agency. Sorry, Kemba. But so I think it would be great to get him at four. Now, what would we have to offer? Ideally, I think we would have to probably give, I'm going to say a first, maybe two first rounders, probably just one, but maybe two. And then in terms of players, I think we would have to give up Grimes. And don't ask me why, but I think the other guy that they would be pushing to get, and I would hate to see him go, but if this means we get the fourth pick, then so be it. But I have a funny feeling Quickly would be part of it too. I don't know why, out of all of the young guys floating around.
That's who I said too. Quickly and Grimes and a pick.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm okay with it. Why wouldn't I be? I mean, nothing that we have done in the past X amount of years has really given me confidence that we could do something. Okay, we made the playoffs. Great. We lost to Trae Young and got disgraced at the Garden. So that gets erased.
So now, being the Knicks fan that you are, I want to turn this on you. You're giving up all of these guys who really haven't developed well because they're in the Tom Thibodeau system. You're giving up all of this capital to get a rookie in Tom Thibodeau's system, which really doesn't execute well with rookies. So are you confident that Jaden Ivey, let's say that's who the Knicks trade up to get, is that the right guy? Because Thibodeau is known for not playing rookies or developing rookies to their full potential. He's known for trading guys and wanting them to be gone before they can develop into something else. Like Zach LaVine is a perfect example.
But then also, Castle, before you go, I know it's very different, but Derrick Rose.
Yeah. I mean, Derrick Rose, that was post-injury.
Well, or Derrick Rose, when he was a rookie, he was drafted to Chicago. I mean, the dude, MVPs, and like, really, if he stayed healthy, he probably would have won a championship. You know?
That's true, but I think that might have been, I mean, it might be different with Jaden Ivey because it's the fourth pick, but Derrick Rose was the first. So. Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, I don't think if you trade all this to jump up to number four for Jaden Ivey, I mean, I think Thibodeau wants that too. I mean, if Leon Rose is not going to make that move, if Thibodeau is not behind it, you know, he's not going to give up a lot of the Knicks assets, especially if they have to give up a few young players, you know. And then if you get that number four overall pick, you pick a guy like Ivey, and they've been doing, you know, researching a lot on him, interviewing him, the workouts, you watch him all year, he makes these explosive plays, he's really good, like, you're gonna play him, you're gonna start him, especially the fans are gonna demand you to start him. So I think and then Castle, let you give your take on this, but I think that this is a slightly I think this is more like a D Rose kind of situation, more than like, this would almost be like the Knicks number one overall pick, like, which it would be, but like them getting like an Ivy would be like, you know, finally them getting the number one overall pick that they've been waiting for, compared to like a Zach LaVine who had a lot of potential, but still needed time to develop, while like, you know, Thibodeau didn't have time for that in Minnesota because they traded for Jimmy Butler. They had Cat, who was, you know, kind of proven himself to be a top center in the league. You know, the Knicks, like, you're still kind of, you don't really know, are we a playoff team or are we still a year or so, you know, until we get to that point? Even though they made the playoffs a couple years ago, was that not a fluke, but was that showing of what this team could be in the very near future? Or is that just like, was it a fluke and then this team still is not anywhere near, you know, that a playoff team? So I don't know, Castle, let's hear what you have to say.
The Knicks are just, you know, they're a mystery. I think that playoff win was premature. I think Randle played a season that I don't know if we'll ever see him play again in a Knicks jersey, but that's besides the point. To answer Josh's question, I think if the Knicks are going to give up that much, like Steve said, if the Knicks are going to give up that much, I don't think Thibodeau is not involved in that decision. So I don't think Ivy would fall through the cracks like we've seen with some of the other rookies. However, I don't know if I see him getting a crazy amount of playing time right away. And I think that's what the concerning part could be, is could he get a good amount of minutes because he's the fourth pick? Yes. Maybe could he even start potentially a few games. But my issue with Tibbs is that, you know, he's more of a defensive coach, first of all. So who knows how much he'll want to emphasize giving Ivy playing time because he's more of an offensive player. And second of all, we don't know, you know, he could do one thing. He can mess up one thing during his game and Tibbs could penalize him for that. And it's because he's a rookie. So I feel like the Knicks getting the fourth pick is experimental. I think that's the word I want to use here, is experimental, because you don't know what it's going to be like with him in the coaching mix. And you just don't know how things are going to pan out, what other moves the Knicks have. So I think in the end, as much as I would love to have him, I think I'm leaning towards more not trading for the fourth pick right now. Kind of just, I guess, seeing what else happens in the offseason. But hey, if it does, I'm not going to complain, because like we've said, he's an exceptional player. But that's two teams now that we've, you know, speculated with Ivy, but we haven't really all come to an agreement on one team that, you know, that's within the top 10 that we could say, oh, if Ivy falls to him, it's a done deal. Do you guys have any teams within the top 10 picks that you see that, or he's one of those guys that can really just float anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I really don't know where he'll fall, because I'm trying to think who's in the top 10. A lot of teams have guards, but they could always use another ball handler. So like the Pistons, for example, yeah, they have Cade Cunningham, but they could take him as well, because Cade was used as shooting guard a lot this year, and Killian Hayes really hasn't lived up to his hype yet. He's kind of looking like a bust. So I really don't know, but my initial reaction would say if he doesn't get traded, then the Pistons.
Yeah, I think I was going to say the Pistons too. I really don't see Ivy falling. I think it's just a matter of teams moving to the fourth spot to take him, or if for the reason the Kings stay put and don't take him, then I think, yeah, the Pistons will be like, either teams will try to trade for that number five spot, or the Pistons will stay put and take him and then pair him with Cade Cunningham. And then before you know it, that could be one of the best combo guard duo you have in the league. And then you just fill out some of the rest of the roster. And then now you're looking pretty good. So I could definitely see him going to Detroit. I don't really see him going to Portland, because you don't know with Dame's situation, like how long he's going to be there. And then, you know, he's not like a McCollum like Ivy, where he just kind of wants to like shoot. Like, you know, Ivy's going to want to run the ball a decent amount. And when you got Dame on the floor, I mean, it's pretty much the Dame show, you know, it's Dame time. So I don't know if that'll be the best fit. And really, I think, yeah, like Ivy's just too good where he's not really going to fall past that four or five slot. So if anything, a team like the Knicks are going to move up for the pick number four, pick number five, or the Pistons will just take him. So I think Farmus and I will agree on that.
I actually really would like that if he went to the Pistons, that duo, him and Cade, that could be that. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's a move that could pan out and shake up the East a little bit. I mean, you know, what was it, 2004, 2005? That's when the Pistons won the finals. I mean, it's been years and years. So that would be very exciting. But it's really funny how, you know, the stuff happens. You guys are bringing up Portland, and that's one of the last draft points that I wanted to bring up was Portland at the, I think they're they're the seventh pick. So a couple of mock drafts that I'm seeing have Sharp going to them at seven. He's a guard. He's a young guard. Now, you guys might disagree here, but I think that this pick is very important for Portland this year. They just made that trade, which is great. But this is a pick that it's another piece of the puzzle to hold and to keep Dame and to continue to build around him, to hold on to him for as long as you can, because Dame is one of the rare ones in the NBA who's so loyal to Portland. I mean, we've talked about it before. He could have won a ring already. He could be on any team, any super team. It doesn't matter. But he's staying loyal, and that's why he's one of my favorite players. So with that seventh pick, is it wrong for them to get a guard in a sense? Do you the 1-2 punch of him and McCollum was huge for Portland. So do they try to bring that back, or is there another direction that they should go in that will not only obviously, of course, help out Portland, but it's another good piece of the Dame puzzle?
I'm curious to hear what Stevie says after, but I think we might be in agreement as well on this. But I think a guard is kind of a must, but not a point guard, like a combo guard. Like you mentioned Shaedon Sharpe. I love him there, but he has his own question marks, unlike anyone else. He reclassified because he was supposed to be in next year's draft, right, Stevie? He was next year's draft?
I believe so. I can double check while you finish your point.
I believe he was supposed to be the number one prospect in next year, but he was eligible to enter the draft this year. He didn't play at all in Kentucky this year. He sat out to prepare for the draft. So in terms of players who have the most to prove, it's probably him, but he might be the most talented prospect because of it being the number one prospect next year, being a combo guard, his scoring ability. I think he's the perfect fit to play alongside Damian Lillard because he could also control the offense when Damian's out. But the rust is a huge question mark. Who knows how he'll be the first couple months of the year. So that's something they want to consider because they also just made a big trade with, like you mentioned at the top of the show, acquiring Jeremy Grant. He's a former All-Star. That's not a joke move. If you make that trade, that's telling Damian Lillard, we're committed to you and we're committed to winning this year. They have Yusuf Nurkic. They have Damian Lillard, Josh Hart, Anthony Simons, and now Jeremy Grant. And then you bring in a guard who they'll draft, whether it's Shaedon Sharpe, AJ Griffin, who's a sniper at Duke this year, local kid from New York. I think he's, I don't know where in Westchester, but he's a local kid. So shout out.
Westchester, huh?
Yeah, he's a local kid.
Okay.
He honestly might be Tarrytown, very local. So shout out AJ Griffin. If he doesn't come to
Pass that exit all the time when I come up to you, the Tarrytown exit.
Yep. I'm sure he wants to go to the Knicks too, but that's not going to happen because unless the Knicks made the trade up for him, but I doubt it. Yeah. So like Johnny Davis is another one of Stevie's favorites. He might be a good fit there. So there's a lot of guards that they're going to be looking at. I think Shaedon Sharpe makes the most sense.
No, I definitely agree. They should go guard. They definitely, Dame, you got the veteran piece with Jeremy Grant for nice. Now you got to get a guard. So whether that's Shaedon Sharpe, the only thing, like Franz was saying, a lot of potential, but hasn't played basketball. I mean, obviously he's been, you know, practicing. I'm sure he's been playing games or something, but like not really competitive, like at the collegiate level or professional level. So, you know, is he truly ready? Or even a guy like Benedict Mathurin from Arizona, you know, that could be a really a good piece to pair with Dame. So I think a guy like that, Johnny Davis, that would be interesting. I don't know. I think it'd be a good fit, but then, you know, like, I don't know how well he could fit there. I think if he gets his shooting up a little bit more, maybe. It's not like Johnny Davis can't shoot at all, but that might be more of a reach for them to take Johnny Davis at that spot. But I really like either Shaedon Sharpe or Benedict Mathurin, I think, to be honest, or would be my top two guys that they should take. Really, I think those would be the best two guys that would pair along very nicely next to Dame and really, you know, kind of give them that CJ McCollum feel that they've been missing.
Oshai Obagi too, I would say, is a pretty solid fit.
Yep, that too. And to be honest, these guys could become even better than McCollum ever was. And listen, McCollum's really good, but I think these guys have a lot of potential. And I think out of Sharper, Benedict Mathurin, I think obviously, you know, Mathurin, he played last year at Arizona, did really good. So you kind of know, maybe you have more of an idea of what you're going to get out of him than say Shaedon Sharpe. But then Shaedon Sharpe, he can really surprise a lot of people and exceed a lot of expectations people have just because he hasn't played and there's not a lot of tape on him. And a lot of the tape goes back to high school, which is now probably, you know, over a year ago. So, but like you say, Castle, it is going to be an important draft for the Trailblazers because, I mean, they were just winning a playoff series not too long ago. And Dame's only getting older. He's still really good, but he's only getting older. And, you know, you want to get back to those winning ways. And especially when you have a guy like Dame, who's one of the best point guards in the league, a guy who can get it done, but you just, you know, haven't been able to surround him with the right team. You know, this is where you definitely got to make the right pick. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and where they go.
Sounds like they have some very promising options. It's just a matter of really what they feel is good at that pick. Based off of what you guys were describing, I like Sharpe a lot. I think that he's a guy that Lillard could take under his wing and, you know, brush some of the rust off and really just have a nice number two. But we'll have to just wait and see. This is going to be a very exciting draft. A lot of different prospects, a lot of teams needing some help here. So I can't wait. And it's going to be good.
And I would say this, if you're going to expect any trades, I would expect the trades to happen during the draft. Then, I mean, you know, we got the Christian Wood one last week. I think a day or so right after we recorded, he got traded to the Mavericks. And then obviously today, Jeremy Grant. But really, I think the big moves where teams like say like a Knicks, if they move up, or the Pistons moves, or, you know, or it, whatever big moves happen, I think it's not going to be like, you know, usually like for the NFL draft, it will happen. I mean, you do get a lot of in draft NFL moves, but like a lot of times you will get like the 49ers last year for Trey Lance. You know, they made the move a couple weeks or maybe even a month before the draft. But for tomorrow, for the NBA, I expect a lot of the moves to happen during the draft, just because, you know, usually that's when that's how the NBA draft usually works. You know, like the Luka and the Trae Young for that swap, you know, that happened during the draft. So I expect that. And you can even expect to say the Kings take Ivy at four for them to still make a trade the Knicks after that. And then, you know, the Knicks would take the player that the Kings want, you know? So really, I would say don't expect too much. It's going to be a lot of rumors swirling around tomorrow during the day, but expect a lot of the news, you know, stuff to break and actually happen during the draft. What time does the draft start? Just so everyone knows, I believe it's probably 7.
I think 8.
I thought it was 8. Yeah.
Let's just double check. So, because I know they do. Well, they only have 2 rounds. I know they air both rounds you know, tomorrow night. So let's see. Well, you can finish whatever you're going to say.
I'm glad.
It is eight.
Okay, yeah, so it's eight. But I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I always find to be one of the most exciting parts of the NBA draft is, like, the stuff that's happening now with these trades at any time. And, you know, getting the Woj bombs when stuff goes down, it's great. I love it. Looking forward to it tomorrow. But before we wrap up, there is another topic within hoops that I want to just bring up a little bit. And this is not an attack, Josh. This is no attacking here. This is an open conversation about what's going on with the Nets. So I believe the headline was that the Nets and Kyrie have reached some sort of impasse with negotiations. And personally, it took me a little by surprise. I kind of thought Kyrie was embracing Brooklyn. And I thought even more after Harden left that he would, you know, embrace it even more. But now the media is starting to show us something a little different. So, you know, is this a smoke show, Josh? Is this just, you know, the media trying to get some news in the cycle now that the finals are over? Is this legit? Is this Kyrie just being Kyrie? What were your initial thoughts when you saw the headline?
My initial thoughts was, this is not true. This is all a smoke show. And I kind of still think that. But I do think that there's some truth to it, because I think Kyrie wants to be in Brooklyn. He is embracing that Brooklyn-ness that you're talking about, which is why there's an impasse. He wants a long-term deal, but the Nets can't guarantee that because his availability, which makes sense. No team really would want to give him a long-term deal because he hasn't played a healthy year since he was a Cleveland Cavalier. His Boston days, he wasn't 100% healthy. TJ could attest to that. And Brooklyn, he hasn't been 100% healthy. So it makes sense why the Nets are hesitant to give him a long-term deal. Now, I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. No one does, besides the front office of the Nets and Kyrie's team. I don't know if they've talked about an extension, like a 1 or 2 year deal. He also, what people aren't realizing, he has a player option, which doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a free agent or not. He could still say he wants to opt in that player option and remain as a Net next year, and then hit free agency and work out an extension during the year or something like that. I haven't heard many people talking about that, and that's kind of been forgotten among all the media outlets. So that is a possibility. It might be unlikely, but it is still a possibility. If he hits free agency, though, I don't know. I'm sure teams are going to be jumping at him like crazy. But some of the teams listed in all of these outlets really don't make sense. The Lakers were the first team, and they're already paying Russell Westbrook almost $40 million a year for the next year or two. They're paying LeBron, and he's probably the highest paid player in the NBA. They're paying Anthony Davis. He's up there as well. They can't afford him, and I read that in order for Kyrie to sign with the Lakers, so not a trade, but sign, he'd have to take a $30 million pay cut, which isn't going to happen. So that eliminates the Lakers in my book. The Knicks were another team, but I think the Knicks would just be foolish, because that would kind of just destroy everything that they've been trying to build, minus Julius Randle, because he's kind of doing that on his own, but building around RJ Barrett, Derrick Rose's leadership, that would just destroy everything that the Knicks are building, because they're building a young, hopefully winning team around RJ Barrett. The Clippers, though, That was another team that was talked about, and that one makes sense, but they are paying Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I don't know what their salary cap deal is like, but those are two stars in the league, and that might be an issue. So I really don't know how realistic that is.
I don't want him going to the Knicks, so we can just do away with that. The Lakers, like you said, don't make sense. The Clippers, yeah, okay, maybe. But if I'm the Nets are really backed into a corner here. They really are, because you don't feel they are?
Not really, because
he was one piece of this big three that they made, you know, they worked to get, and this was going to be the championship team. Now you got Harden gone. You lost out on the young guys from that. Now you got, you know, Kyrie half in and half out. Yeah, KD is still solid, but you don't think the Nets are in a little bit of a position here where they need to give in a little bit?
I mean, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. There could be extension talks. There may not. We really don't know. But he could still choose to opt in that player option, and that's not being talked about. And if that's the case, then the Nets are in absolutely no position to worry. So June 29th is the deadline, I believe, for him to decide if he's opting in or opting out. And then once that happens, then they'll start to figure out the next steps. Because let's say he does choose to opt out, which many people think that would happen, then he'll become a free agency. But there are also many people who think, okay, that's expected, and then he'll resume talks with the Nets to work out an extension from there, hoping he can get more money by doing that. So I really don't see the Nets in a position where they're backed into a corner. It might be uncomfortable at times for the Net fans because the media is just saying ridiculous things every day, but it's expected. And I really don't see a worry, like why the worrisome should happen until that Woj bomb is official.
Hey, listen, the fact that you're optimistic about it, you know, it shows that there is faith in this situation from a fan's perspective, from Nets fans' perspective, which I think is good. I do want to get another perspective though on this, and that's someone who supports a team that Kyrie was previously on, and the ending of his time with that team, we know how that went down. So TJ, want to get you in here for a minute. Just want to get, you know, your opinion of the situation. Do you feel that this is just a smoke show, and that in the end Kyrie will either take the option and then he'll sign when after a year, or he'll sign an extension or something like that, or knowing what his previous situation was with the Celtics, do you see any scenario of him bolting and leaving Brooklyn?
I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, I don't know if they want to pay him all that money to have him stay, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to test free agency. Like, yeah, he's had his problems on and off the court in the past, but wouldn't you be stoked to have Kyrie Irving on your team, whether whoever you are?
Oh, yeah.
Like, as much as I don't take anything that they say on First Take seriously, this point I kind of agree with. Like, having Kyrie Irving is just like, it's that step. And he could take your team in the right direction, whether it be an offensive edge, a defensive edge, whatever it may be, Kyrie Irving can provide that for you. So I don't know if the Nets are going to keep him, if it's all like you're saying, just a smoke show, but I wouldn't be surprised if he tests free agency, and it'd kind of be interesting to see where he'd want to go.
See, I respect that. You're probably the most logical Boston fan that I've talked to, because it was nice and calm and peaceful. There are no cursing. Like, yeah, that was peaceful. I love when you come on, because usually when I hear Boston and I talk to Boston fans, I get angry, and that's just the New York in me. But nah, that was peaceful, and I respect that, TJ.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. I know I don't speak for the rest of the Boston faithful, but I like to be as calm, cool, and collected as I can. Now, if you caught me post-finals, that could have been something completely different.
Understandable. But, understandable.
Time to dwell.
And be after game four being swept, there may or may not have been 50 texts in waiting from me to you where it was just cursing out everything.
Right.
So apologies for that.
Hey, that's all right. I never got them. So it's even better.
That's why we wanted to bring in Mr. Hummel for his opinion, because he brings in a unique Boston opinion, one that we can actually absorb and not want to scream. So thank you for that, TJ. Stevie, any last minute comments on the Kyrie situation? I mean, you kind of agree with everything. Anything different you want to bring to the table with this?
He's everything with Kyrie is always a big story, a big, like, too much drama. And listen, when he plays, he's good. Like, he's really good. You know, he's one of the best guards in the league, but that's when he plays. But then everything else is just such, is always, you know, it's never like easy with him. It's never like a smooth sailing thing with him. And it used to be up until he like wandered out of Cleveland. And then since then, it's just gone downhill. And, you know,
like, to be fair, do you think this is on Kyrie? Yes, it's that this is the person that's being talked about. But do you think that this is something that you could fault Kyrie for? Or is this something that you could say, you know what, the media is the one to blame because they're the one blowing this up?
I mean, I think this is more media. I will say this. I think this is more media. Because even I think Kyrie tweeted something from like a show, like The Wire or something like that, when these reports came out. And it's kind of like, he's probably sitting back laughing. You know, I'm sure like he probably wants a big number, and the Nets are a little like resistant to giving that number because, you know, you just
remind you of any other New York athlete that's dealing with this right now?
Is it our boy?
It is.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, Judge's situation gets settled, but it is kind of similar. But that's, you know, that Judge's is another topic for another day. Hopefully we really don't have to go to that topic, but whatever. But I think this one's more the media, you know, like, oh, like the Nets and Kyrie are kind of at a standstill, you know, let's just hammer it because it's Kyrie, because all these other things that happened in the past, all these other storylines from the past, now the media just like, you know,
like LeBron and Kyrie have been talking, like exchanging like texts. Like, how do you know this? Like,
exactly. And he's an easy target. He's an easy like headline guy to make a headline about, and you will not be surprised, you know, shocked. Like, you know, like it seems true because of all these other storylines with Kyrie. So really, I agree with you. I think this is more meat on the media, but who knows with Kyrie? Really, you really don't know with Kyrie. I think, you know, things could probably work themselves out. Really, I don't think anyone's going to give Kyrie a full big contract that he wants, just because, you know, with the vaccination status, I don't know if that's going to apply within the next couple of years. I don't know. So you don't know with that. And then his injury history, and then just, you know, kind of some of his, like, you know, just he's kind of been a headache, you know, like off the court too, not like with like trouble with like the law, just like things he said and like some of his, you know, the whole like earth is flat. Like, you just don't want that outside drama coming into the locker room. So who knows what's going to happen with him, but all that, but yeah, no, I kind of agree with everyone. And I think right now, I don't think the situation will get too much bigger than this, but then again, we don't know. anything can happen. You know, it's life. We know anything can happen in life. And especially with, you know, these professional leagues, their businesses and these players, you know, especially a guy like Kyrie, anything can happen. Anything can kind of blow up and, you know, go kind of a little bonkers from there. But yeah.
It will be probably one of the bigger stories that we'll continue to follow throughout the next few weeks. In the end, I think I'm on the same page with you guys. I think it's a smoke show. Just looking at what the Nets have gone through the past few seasons to get to the point of having him and KD together, I think it's all going to work itself out in the end. But we're going to continue to follow that. There's still some more hoops to talk about post-draft. Maybe we'll get into the finals a little bit. Who knows? You'll have to stay tuned for next week. But that concludes this week's episode. As always, we want to do our usual thank yous. We want to thank Wild Chat Sports for being a great partner, always producing great content. If you keep up with their podcast, they just had a great guest on themselves. Their most recent episode, they had Bruce Buffer, Mr. UFC himself, the King of the Ring. So go check that interview out. Kevin's out there now in LA interviewing these people in a studio. It's a great thing. So definitely go check that out. Next, we want to give a shout out to Liberty Shirt Co., of course. Always putting out those great sports for the guy. Great shirts for those guys in Fox Sports, wherever. You know, you want to get a nice shirt for graduation, barbecue. If you're Stevie, you're patiently waiting by the mailbox to get your custom shirt. So if you haven't already, go check their inventory out. They got a nice lineup for summer. And last but certainly not least, our newest partnership with OP Sports Betting. They still haven't gone live yet, but don't worry. You guys will know when that'll happen. We're going to have a big announcement. But go check out their Instagram if you haven't already. We follow them through ours. And hey, if you don't follow us on ours, we're at the 3P Podcast on Instagram. We're run by the man of many hats himself, TJ Hummel. So TJ, thank you as always for that. And thank you for listening to this episode. We're getting to the end here, season 5, but that doesn't mean we're going to keep stopping with the content. So you keep listening and we'll keep putting it out there, and have a great night.
Weather is getting nicer, which means more events, whether it's a wedding or a date, Liberty Shirt Co. has you covered. They're offering 3 shirts for $333. Now, this may seem like a lot, but this is essentially less money than what you would spend on gas in a month, and the shirts will last a long time. And don't forget to use promo code 3P at checkout to save 10% on all other orders. That's promo code 3P at checkout. You save 10% when you go to www.libertyshirtco.com.